Good evening, everybody. Time at 7 o'clock. We'll call to order the Town of Discovery Bay regular CSD meeting. If I can get everybody to stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, roll call, please. Thank you. This is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public who are on the line and wishes to address the board for any item that's not on tonight's agenda, now is your opportunity. We'll be given 3 minutes. Do we have any members of the public online that wishes to address us?
Donnie Thomas.
Have joined.
The only members of the public we have are the two law enforcement agencies.
Okay. I'll get one more minute. Okay, hearing nothing, I will close public comments and move to the consent calendar. Do we need to remove anything off the consent calendar, board? If not, then I'll ask for a motion.
Move to accept.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President
Bateau? Aye. Consent calendar motion carries. Thank you. I'll go to D1, area agencies and liaisons reports, and I believe town manager wishes to...
We're going to be an agency tonight because it's going to be my pleasure to introduce to you one of our latest hires. This is Ozzy Jorgensen. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
I don't think I did. So this is Ozzy, and Ozzy is our new...
I've joined.
Our new park and recreation worker, and which is part-time, and then the other part is an assistant to our water and wastewater manager, Aaron. And I thought it would be nice so you know who's running around the community center. This is where she's stationed, and she's gonna tell you a little bit about herself. Ozzy?
Nice meeting you all, and we're living Tracy. I'm just gonna start with my family. I'm married. Two dogs, two cats. Not comfortable in social situations, so forgive me my rambling. And I started the family because I think my husband is the biggest accomplishment of my life. So, and love spending time with them. And also have public administration background. I have a master of public administration. And I've worked for public agencies, mostly educational. I would say like Stanford University, and also for private sector, Starbucks. That's about it, and I look forward to helping you guys all out, helping the team, Monica and the rest of the team, and then helping you guys out. And have a good meeting, and thanks.
Terry Lawson.
Welcome.
Have joined.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I don't believe we have Representative Diane Birch's office, so I'll move forward with the Sheriff's office.
Good evening, everybody.
Mark Terry Lawson.
Has left.
Okay, so I'll briefly talk about this July 4th weekend. So we had extra people out both Friday and Saturday nights. We were working with the fire department for the fireworks. I actually came out both nights, Friday and Saturday, and no one was. Well, at least it seemed to me to be a little bit less than past years. Now the county did pass the ordinance. Which allowed us to cite the owner if we could tell the fireworks were coming from a certain property. What I didn't find out until shortly before last weekend was, even though it was passed in June, there was a 30-day waiting period before we could actually cite somebody. So actually, we can't start citing people for that new section until today. So that kind of hindered us a little bit. But regardless, we were out there. There weren't a lot of fireworks, per se. What people were doing was, you know, they would shoot them off their dock. We would see it go up, then we would get in the area, and they would stop. And so we were kind of having a problem actually pinpointing what exactly house they were coming from. So what I think next year what we're going to do is we're going to put some people undercover and plain clothes driving around, watching the fireworks, and then just calling us in, and then we can swoop in and do it that way. And I'm thinking about putting one of our drones up there. That way we can kind of see, out by the water where the people are shooting them off from their dogs, so we kind of pinpoint the house or where they're coming from. July 4th, we were extremely short. I know our guys weren't from call to call. I don't think they were able to do much firework enforcement. They said it was kind of like past years. They got a little bit busy, but then died relatively quickly. So we'll keep working on that for next year. For the month of June, at the station house, we had 23 arrests. We had 340 calls for service in the Discovery Bay area, and we took 28 reports. Some of those calls that we did take, about 3:30 in the morning, someone called, I believe it was off of Lido Circle, and called in what they thought was an auto burglary in progress. Gave us a good description of the car as deputies were coming in. They saw the car leaving on Discovery Bay Boulevard, made a traffic stop. Didn't find any stolen property in the car, but one of the passengers was a convicted sexual predator who had not registered and was from Nevada. So that person went to jail. And he also had a methamphetamine pipe with him as well. We took one missing persons report, and that person was subsequently located and was safe. We made two warrant arrests on Discovery Bay residents. We took a domestic violence report where the male half ended up leaving with a gun. They gave us a description of the car, and our deputies were responding to the call. They ended up observing the car, made a traffic stop, ended up finding the suspect and the gun. That person was arrested. We got a call at the CVS one morning. The people that work there, they're very cognizant now of who comes in and out, and they can almost tell if someone's coming in to steal. And they called us right away saying, hey, this lady came in. She had a ginormous bag, which is very not normal unless they're there to steal. So I guess she started loading up her bag. When she realized the employees were coming onto her, she actually left it there, walked out, got into a car that was waiting for her, and left. Gave us a description of the car. We ended up finding it. Heading out towards Tracy, we made a traffic stop on it. The car took off. Short pursuit, but the car got to like 100 miles per hour, and we ended up having to terminate that chase just because of the danger, and we weren't able to catch those folks. I think I mentioned this last time, or last month. We got a report of a child molest slash sexual assault that had just occurred at 3:30 in the morning, and we responded out there. The suspect in that case was related to the family and ended up leaving their residence on foot. And they spent the next 3 to 4 hours searching the area, couldn't find a suspect in this case. They were able to get the suspect's phone number, get a search warrant for the phone, and were able to ping it. And they pinged it all the way out into Stockton. They immediately responded out to Stockton, along with the Stockton Police Department, and found the suspect as he was boarding a bus to head back to LA. So it was a really good case by our deputies out there. We took two people under observation for mental illness. We took two identity theft reports. We had a vandalism with some graffiti over at Cornell Park. It looks like it was some juveniles. We still get phone scams every once in a while, and they're going after the elderly folks. And the victim in this case ended up losing about $18,000 before it was found out that it was a scam. We took one petty theft from a vehicle, the typical case where somebody leaves their doors unlocked and they just open up the car and grab the wallets and that sort of thing. We had one catalytic convert theft from the RV park over at Discovery Bay Storage, and we took one elder abuse case and submitted that to our detectives for follow-up. And it looks like it's it for the month of June, and I have open for any questions.
Well, good. Thanks.
I'm seeing lots of heads shaking now, so thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Do we have a representative of the CHP department?
Hello, everyone. Officer Thomas with the Highway Patrol. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good deal. The activities last month for June, arrest-wise, we had arrests for DUI under alcohol, 4 arrests, 1 arrest for under the influence of drugs. Let's see here. We had 1 warrant arrest, 1 arrest for a hit-and-run collision, and 1 arrest for reckless driving, speed contest. Citation-wise, just, let's see here, go off what the stats I got here. It looks like there was 14 for speed, 4 registration, 1 right-of-way, 1 unsafe pass, looks like 4 warnings, 2 stop signs, four warnings, already said warnings. That's what it was. Today I was out to Disco Bay area and I did about seven sites for speed and 1 for registration. And I gave 3 verbal warnings out there today. That was in Discovery Bay itself, Clipper, Newport, Discovery Bay Boulevard. I did a couple citations out on the Highway 4 portion out there, and then a couple on Bixler Road out there. This weekend, we had the maximum enforcement period. I did some overtime for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of the month, and myself, and I was able to get the help of a beat unit, and out in East County alone, we did close to, I did 60 sites myself, and I think the other 2 guys together maybe did another 30 sites, so we get close to a little over 90 citations issued during the holiday season and stuff like that. Predominantly, it was, majority of it was speeding and everything like that, and that ranged on the Highway 4 corridor from Balfour out to basically Cherry Hills out there past Discovery Bay Boulevard is what we did. That's all I have for you guys. You guys have any questions or anything for me?
I'm saying no. So thank you, Officer Thomas.
Well, there we go. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Right,
thank you. Do we have a member from the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District?
There's not a member.
Good evening, Barb Battaglia, Chief McCumber here. How's everybody doing?
Where did you go? There, you just came on. There he is.
Go ahead, Chief.
Yep, I'm here. Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
All right, so I'll touch on some stuff about what's going on in Discovery Bay and then some stuff that was coming up. So for the month of June, there were 51 calls in Discovery Bay with an average response time of 9:30. There was a structure fire on South Point. We discussed that in the last meeting since it made it in time. A family was displaced and there was heavy damage to the attic. And then on June 7th, there was a vegetation fire near the bridge on Highway 4, Old River Bridge there. It was incredibly windy that day, so it did make the incident difficult. However, it was contained with no damage to any important property or residents in that area. Overall, the district ran 668 calls for service and our assigned response time of 817. That included responding to 5 residential structure fires, 1 vehicle fire, 1 large vehicle fire, 15 vegetation fires, and 17 exterior fires. There were also 31 vehicle accidents in the district, with an additional 6 requiring rescue, 1 vehicle versus pedestrian, 5 motorcycle accidents, and 2 bicycle accidents. Even though I usually do my July report in August, but I'm going to give you the 4th of July stats. It was busy for us, but not nearly as busy as years past, especially compared to 2020. For the 4th of July, there were 6 incidents in Discovery Bay. Of the 6 incidents, 2 were for small exterior fires that didn't really go anywhere or cause any damage. So it's a good thing. And one of those small exterior fires of those 2 was caused by a barbecue just being a little too hot. The other was undetermined. Overall, the district had 35 calls for service, and that's down from 45 the year before on that day. And just for reference, we average about 21 calls of service a day. So it was still busier, but not as busy as in the past. Most of them were medical calls. Like I said, we only had 4 calls for fires total in the district. The main one was a vegetation fire in Oakley that was quickly extinguished. It was just overall a lot quieter. I mean, there was still a lot of fireworks going off and around, but it wasn't nearly close to the madness that was 2020's 4th of July holiday. And just to kind of put the bow on the present here, in 2020, like I said, we ran 45 calls for service that day. We had 18 fires that day just in our district, not including the fires we went to in surrounding areas. So you can see we went from 18 to 4 fires. So
I'd like to believe that a lot of the campaign about the fireworks and fines, the patrols from the Sheriff's Department, our prevention personnel being out and just kind of drive around and watching, I think that curbed just enough of it to make it a lot slower of a the 4th of July weekend. So other than that, the big thing coming on next Wednesday, during our fire board meeting, Chief Helmick will be presenting the final report from AGP Triton about annexation into Contra Costa County Fire. So I encourage everybody listening to this, from the board members to the members of the public, please watch that meeting. We're still doing virtual meetings. You can find that link on our website, ccfpd.org. We live stream that. This is the big important meeting where the final report will be presented with AP Triton's findings to see if the merger is still feasible after the longer, harder look. Just for background, it was before the new year, back last November, when AP Triton came out with their initial report and said an annexation into Contra Costa Fire would be feasible, but they needed to move to a deeper report with a lot more fine-tuning of the numbers. That report's what's coming out. So I implore all of you, please be on that meeting. That's a big deal for the future of our fire district. I would also encourage everybody to watch the Board of Supervisors meeting next Tuesday, which is the day before, because they will be discussing it and reading the report as well. And those two meetings are going to go hand in hand. So Board of Supervisors meeting Tuesday. Our meeting is Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Again, you can stream that. We're still not doing in-person meetings, but that will be the main focus of that meeting, and you will know exactly what's going on. If the Board of Supervisors and our fire board both accept the report and it recommends that we move forward, the next step would be for us to apply for the annexation through LAFCO. So we got to get through next week first. So again, please, please, please attend that meeting. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. It's a big deal. Other than that, I'm not going to beat the drum of wildland season. I start sounding like a broken record. Just like I said, mow your weeds, make sure your neighbors got their weeds down. We have an app through GoGov that you can download the app and make reports. You can just go to our email, fire@eccfpd.org, to report violations. And to follow up from last month's meeting, I did go right to our Fire Prevention Bureau about the request about Caltrans knocking their weeds down. Our Prevention Bureau is very aware of it. They've been really trying to work on Caltrans and getting their weeds down, not just along Highway 4 in Discovery Bay, but in the areas of the whole district that's under their jurisdiction. So well aware of it. They've been trying to work with them as hard as they can, but alas, it's very difficult, as we know. So other than that, that is my report for the evening. I'm available for questions.
I'm seeing lots of head shaking no, but certainly your numbers are very encouraging for 4th of July. It felt a little different at my house, though. So thank you for telling, Chief.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good evening, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Okay. You want presentations.
Continues to comply with and surpass both state and federal standards for drinking water. In May of this year, the board voted on taking advantage of a more environmentally responsible delivery method of the CCR to the public. By eliminating the production and mailing of a paper pamphlet, the district has had an annual cost savings of approximately $5,777, plus the cost of postage to over 7,200 customers. On July 1st, we posted the full report online, which you have in front of you, on the town website, and designated the direct URL of www.todb.ca.gov/CCR. And for any members of the public who are listening, you can also find the water quality report on the todb.ca.gov website under water services. To fill the distribution requirement, the district has also sent a direct email to all of our water customers who are signed up for paperless billing. The email went to 2,803 water customers and also was sent to 693 residents requesting updates on water through the TODB website. We will be posting one more blurb on the August bill directing water customers to view the report online. For those who wish to have a paper copy, it can be printed directly from your computer. Customers can also obtain a printed version by contacting a water department during business hours. This annual requirement is not a small one, and I would like to acknowledge our wonderful team for assisting in making it happen. So thank you to Anthony from Veolia, Aaron, our water and wastewater manager, Julie Carter in finance, and the water admin team, along with Ms. Sandy Linares, the board secretary, for the distribution of this important information. That concludes my update. I'm happy to answer any questions at this time. And we know the link is working because people from the public have come in and requested hard copies and have already started picking them up.
Well, I'll just say, I'll echo your comments. Thank you very much for all the hard work and your team. This is a huge savings for us, and it's a smart move. So,
Absolutely. Thank you.
Maddie needs to give a lot of credit to herself. She worked very hard on this, and we appreciate that.
Good job.
Is there any members of the public wishes to comment on this? Okay. Then we will move forward to business and action items. F1.
As part of the annual assessment process for Ravenswood Improvement District Zone 9, the Board of Directors adopted Resolution 2021-05, which directed Herwood Engineering to prepare the annual assessment report. On June 16th, the Board approved Resolution 2021-11, accepting the draft engineering report and scheduling the public hearing for July 7th, 2021. In that report, Herwood determined based on operating costs, the per parcel assessment should be at $742.04 per parcel, which is the allowable maximum assessment for Zone 9. Are there any questions from the board? The staff recommends that the board open the public hearing on Resolution 2021-12, confirming the report and ordering the levy and collection of charges for the annual assessment for Ravenswood Improvement District for fiscal year 2021-2022. Accept any public comments, close the hearing, and adopt the resolution.
Does the board have any clarifying questions? And then I'm going to open it up to public comments.
Technically, the public hearing, we open the public hearing, so this is public hearing time, so, and then we'll...
should I say public comments and public hearing?
Yeah, public comment is public hearing for this matter. Just procedurally for this, or for the lighting landscaping district, it's they call it a public hearing, small public hearing, but technicality.
Well, for the members of the public, this is not only your public comment, it's your public hearing. Mm-hmm.
Nice catch.
Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and public comments.
Thank you, Chair.
And bring it back to board for either clarification or discussion or motion. Oh, silence. It means it goes away.
So you just need to make a motion.
I'll bring it back to the board for either clarifying questions or motion.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2021-12.
I'll second it.
Yeah,
because
the resolution should have
all the. We have a first and second, so I'll roll call vote.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. It wasn't.
Thank you.
unenthusiastically. Okay, we'll move forward to business action item number two.
Good evening. Annually, or as needed, staff reviews the facility and parks rental fee schedule to adjust fees and make modifications. The last revision we did to the facility and park rental fee was in February of 2019, so we thought it was time to take a look and make some changes. And add a special events category or fee, we've never done that before. So I'll just kind of walk through the changes so it's an easy comparison for you. As soon as I get all my documents. So what we did is, if you look at the one titled Facility Rental Fee Schedule up at the top, you'll see that previously somebody could rent the community center event lawn and barbecue area, a resident, for $20 an hour. We did a very modified increase to 30, and then included that special event fee. So if somebody wants to come in with a large group, that would be considered a special event, which we also spelled out on page 2 to explain what that is. We also decided to change the way we do deposits and leave that at the discretion of the general manager based on the type of event that they're having. If there's more risk, the higher the deposit would be. We also changed for just the event lawn and the barbecue area, going from $10 an hour to $15, and again including that special event fee. And then also wanted to change the fees for the community center tennis and pickleball courts. Again, very modest, from $5 to $6 for a resident and $8 to $9 for a non-resident. So that is the facility for here at the community center. And then I'll talk about parks, or I can stop and ask any questions you may have for facility.
I have one question. So Mike, as far as the deposit goes, are you comfortable with that, being able to support changing the deposit depending on, I just wouldn't want us to get into a situation where we're treating different groups differently.
It would be based on, it wouldn't be arbitrary. It would be based on articulable conditions that exist pursuant to the nature and circumstances of the event. This is stuff that I did way back when I was with Brentwood. And it also allows for us to impose certain conditions. It may be the hiring of staff to prep a location. It could be the requirement that we have a certain garbage, that they pay for garbage service. As long as well as setting a deposit amount that would be, have some kind of rational connection to the event itself and what kind of predictable damage could occur.
Okay, so for parks, which are Cornell and Ravenswood, what we did was we took the baseball, Cornell Park baseball field, and made again a modest increase from $5 to $8 for resident, from $8 to $11 for non-resident. And we still have that daily rate, so folks are getting a little bit of a break if they want to rent it for all day. We also changed Cornell Park soccer field from $4 to $8. The shaded picnic area from $10 to $15 an hour. And I'm just giving you the rent to point out so you can see to know where to look on the form. And then added at the bottom, you'll see we've never had Cornell Park Ravenswood Park special event fee. So again, if somebody's coming in with a large event, and then we'll still go all through all of the, they'll fill out the application and get it all approved, but we did come up with a $60 an hour special event fee for all day for $400. And the same thing with the description for what a special event is.
Really quick, can you go over the baseball fee again? Sorry, I think I missed what you said. So
It was $5 an hour. And it will be, if you're renting it by the hour, and we increased it to $8 for a resident.
Okay, so it's just one.
Sure. You're looking for an old hotel. Maybe it'll go far enough.
Okay. Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Yep, okay. So if there's no questions, staff BS.
Oh, you're not surprised. My thoughts at looking at this, if we're going to take one of our very few parks totally out of commission for a day for someone to rent it for an event, I would think, and so none of our citizens can use it if somebody's rented, for this example, say Cornell Park, should we be charging more than $400? I'm looking forward to hearing to what the board members feel on that.
I think it would be classified under a special event if they're going to be renting it for the entire day. And my thought is typically a special event includes the community. So in reality, the community would be involved at some level with that event for that park.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Director Graham read my mind. I was thinking the exact same thing, that for very little money, we're closing the park down to the community. And unfortunately, I don't have a solution. I mean, I'm creating a problem that I don't have a solution for. I kind of feel the same way. But I guess it all depends on what the use of the property is. You know, I look at, you know, how unfortunately we didn't have time to really work out the details for an event that we were asked about at the last minute. And there was considerable funds being raised through that event, and yet the town wasn't going to participate. I'll use for an example the concerts that the Lions Club does. They, as you well know, they typically split their what they earn with the community center to help support the community center.
Right.
If we're just charging somebody $400 for the day to have, or whatever it is for the day to have that entire Cornell Park, they can go out there and do a fundraiser of some kind using the whole park and close it to the entire community and raise $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, and the community is, the park has been closed to the community and the town isn't, doesn't seem to be fairly compensated for that. Again, I haven't had time to really think it through or come up with a different solution, but it just doesn't seem quite equitable.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to open this up for discretion. I looked at Brentwood, Oakley, Mountain House, and it's all over the board. Everybody's different.
Let me ask you this. Do they all have policies where people are allowed to exclude the public from the park for their own benefit like this? I'm being kind of harsh in how I state that, but that's basically what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know the policies of all of them.
And it may be fine. That's just what it feels like to me, that's all.
Yeah.
Monica, how many years have you been with the town of Skyridge?
Almost 8.
In the 8 years that you've been, how many requests have you had to rent an entire facility, approximately?
Oh, maybe one a year, if that.
So it's not a huge...
For facility or park?
Are you talking about specifically Cornell?
Any of our facilities, to rent the whole facility.
The whole facility?
Rent the whole park?
Here at the community center? Gosh, other than concerts, that's been the only time for the whole facility. We did have a celebration of life here one time several years back, where the whole facility was rented. So not frequently.
To Director Graves' point, and maybe we're overthinking this, but what if we had two levels of fees? So if somebody's going to rent the park, the whole park, for a family reunion, you know, then maybe it's X dollars, but if it's going to be any sort of a fundraiser, then it's more X dollars.
But
I don't know, are we overthinking it? Or just coming up with
it? We may be overthinking it.
Or just coming up with, but I think the fee should be higher than $400,
well,
even if it was $500.
If it's a family reunion, I don't think so. But
I was just making that up.
No, I mean, but it's a great example. So again, I've opened my mouth and created it, made comments that I have no solutions to, which puts me in an awkward position. But that's, like I said.
When you think about the scenario of a family reunion, are you thinking that a family reunion would go longer than 6 hours?
Probably not, but you know, you could easily have
I personally wouldn't do a family reunion for longer than 6 hours.
Well, they wouldn't have me there for 6 hours, I guarantee you that.
Because that's the break-even point, right, for the special event versus the hourly rate, right? The full day versus the hourly rate, 6 hours. Or 6 points.
Oh, so you're saying that you, by bumping after 6 hours, you could incorporate some of those all-day events that we were concerned about?
Yeah, so increasing the amount on the full-day rental, anything larger than X amount of hours.
If you're having a family reunion, keep it under 4 hours or whatever, and you get it for a reasonable fee, and your family loves you but probably doesn't want to see you that long anyway.
So I have another question.
Did I say that a lot?
If something like this comes up,
good point.
For approval, or an event needs to be done, is that automatically approved, or is it conditional and needs to be approved?
No, if it's something over a large event or anything out of the ordinary, usually if the way I judge it, if somebody wants to rent something that's got more than 100 people, I definitely run that through Mike. If it's something here where there's 50, 60 people and I know I've been here long enough, you know, I rent it out. This is still going over 200 people, so that would then come before the board or the committee, would not.
No. Can we add some maybe discretionary language in there that says, based on special event, whatever, it can be determined? I mean, I know there's some determined on what it is in safety and deposit, but maybe extra fees may be incurred?
Well,
is that covered under the special events? Maybe I didn't word that right, but...
I don't think that's where the special fees would occur. We'd have to be careful in that arena. I look towards Andy. You have to be very careful when you're charging one group over another that you're not overstepping bounds and raising issues of discrimination, quite frankly.
Understood.
So what we can do is these matters would come before the general manager for a decision. The general manager can look at the, as I said before, the nature and circumstances of the event. And no, I may not be able to charge a higher fee. I can charge them things that produce impacts. Are you going to need security? Will this need security? Will this need additional garbage pickup? Will this need staff on site to supervise? And then in many of these larger events, I believe that will be the case. And that's where they're going to pay the extra money to have our staff on hand and things of that nature. And we do have that in the language of we can put in conditions of approval, and that would be the conditions of approval. You're going to pay this, you're going to have so many guards, you're going to have staff, you're going to pay for garbage, etc.
And there's an obvious way to make things happen too, and I'll go back again to the Lions Club. They came to the town and said, hey, we want you to be a co-sponsor in this, and therefore you can reap in some of the profits of it because it becomes an event that we are sponsoring. And we could do that with any sort of, a past example, but let's just say that it was going to be some sort of art fair, and somebody came, you know, there's companies that do like the farmer's market and stuff like that, right, and said, hey, we want to do this at the community center here in Discovery Bay. We do it all over the country, and they want to make us a partner in it. Well, now we're a sponsor, and that changes the whole dynamics of it, and then it throws the fee structure out completely because then we participate in some of the receipts. So I think that's a very obvious way to deal with a large event also, is to say, well, if you want to make us a co-sponsor and then you know, talk about a split of the profits, then we don't have to even worry about it.
Yep.
You know?
70-30.
Whatever we decide on.
Joking.
And then I know we probably end up accepting some liability at that point, but you know, we want to encourage events to occur here. We want to be self-sustaining.
I think that's why I felt like the 400 was maybe more on the modest side, but just we've never had it, so kind of starting there and seeing where it goes. Was the thought behind that?
We're certainly open to raising that to whatever the board decides, but 500 does not seem unreasonable.
Doesn't. I know you said you didn't know a lot about all the policies, but for some reason it seems to me that when you have events in public spaces that you're not able to exclude members of the public typically, like, so, you know, the Brentwood might have a wedding at the park right there in the middle of town, but you always see other people there as well enjoying the rest of the park. So is that something that's
You can rent city parks, so whether they can exclude people or not, I didn't read their full policy. Yeah. I was just focusing kind of on,
because I think that's what everybody's concern is, right? That we're renting out something for $400 that would then prevent, you know, anybody from being able to use the facility.
Right.
I don't see where that would be any different than any other location that could be privately rented. For example, you can exclude people from the tennis courts when they rent the tennis courts.
Okay.
You can exclude people from the community center.
From the pool when they're doing an event or something like that.
Even the summer concert series, we retain the right to exclude people, and we have lists of people that are excluded. Well,
correct.
Conditions that wouldn't exclude you, not okay. people.
So having said that and understanding that there are some concerns, I do appreciate the time and effort that's been put into this, and I'm okay with it, as especially as a starting point, and see how it works and see if there's any problems that are created by it. I'm okay with the way it reads.
Let's go ahead and open to public comments, see if any members of the public wishes to have some input. Is there any members of the public that wish to comment? Okay, bring it back to the board then.
I'll make a motion to approve the fee schedule the way it's been presented to us, appreciating the hard work and thought that's gone into it, and that's it.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Gates?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion
thank
carries.
Thank you, Monica.
I know it's a lot of work.
And Mike, thank you for the hard work.
I don't believe we have a manager report or a general manager report, or do we? Then we move forward to director's report. We have a communication meeting?
Yes, we had a communications meeting today. We talked about what we're going to be doing to use our new little design templates, and Monica's going to be coming up with a list of announcements, updates, whatever the case may be that we can use that for. We talked about... I guess I'm jumping ahead on the Lakeshore. I'll wait and do that with upcoming agenda items.
Edit them, then we'll are correct.
Ashley? What we done? So we had several discussions. There's a discussion about shade structure in the waiting area of the community center pickleball courts that the DBRS is looking to sponsor. We discussed rental of 6 tennis courts for a pickleball tournament, and the rental fee structure that Monica just presented. Parks and Rec Committee discussed it, reviewed it, and approved it. And then just a discussion regarding the island designs. Bill presented various different island designs for the islands around the community and being in compliance without having the grass in there. And they were beautiful.
Yes.
It's excellent. Brian, can I jump back? I missed something.
Sure.
We also talked about some updates to our website that sounds like it's going to be fabulous. We'll see more information coming out on that. Blood drive that will be held here October 13th from 9 to 3. And then I'll also discuss the water report.
Thank you. And then lastly, water wish board. You guys had a meeting as well.
Okay, so we are dealing with the stark reality of equipment only has a certain lifespan. So we our back truck is there'll be a proposal coming to the board for approval and a recommendation after a lot of research has been done by our staff with the cooperation of Veolia for a new back truck that will really facilitate and be specifically designed for the issues that we have here in Discovery Bay. Along with that, we have another piece of equipment that is used on site at Plant 2 with regards to our press of our solid waste, and that will be something that needs to be replaced pretty soon, so we'll have that coming to the board also. And then we discussed a policy with regards to how we accept and report and record any sort of violations we have to make sure that it's a permanent item within the Town of Discovery Bay's records and not just with our contractor's records. And that was brought about by a small spill that we had that Veolia is taking responsibility for. There's no financial impact to the town. But that brought up that process. And so we feel very secure that the record keeping will be done in a way that history can be looked at and said, well, how often has this happened? And it'll be all concise and in one location. And I think those were the three items.
Okay, thank you. I guess Kevin, you're still on with the directors.
No, I've submitted those. They're fine.
Okay. Any correspondence received? Any future agenda items?
Yes, ma'am. One, the board may recall that we talked about our efforts to increase communications and participation with lakes and Lakeshore. So we sent them a letter with no response. So what I'd like to talk about at our next meeting is after contacting the HOAs over there, if they would be welcome to having a board member come and make a presentation and figure out how we can increase communications with those communities.
I think that's a great idea. Get in their newsletter or something so they know we're here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a great idea because they don't.
Well, judging by the audience participation, I'd say that goes for a lot of people in this community.
No. We're here.
Okay. Well, then, if there's no other future agenda items, then 7:47, meeting adjourned.